Pascal Lumanda. I am originally from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. In the past, they used to call it Zaire. It is a country that is located in the center of Africa. I remember growing up as a little child, we used to go to mass with my family. I was going to mass every day and that early, not because I was a good kid, but just because my mom was dragging my feet to go to mass. But the more I was at mass, something got my attention. We know the priest at the consecration uses the bigger host. And the priest who was in my home parish used to eat the whole thing by himself. So one time I asked my mom, I said, why that priest is so selfish? He eats the whole host without giving me. My mom told me the reason why he eats the whole thing is because he is a priest. I said, okay. If that is the case, I'm going to become a priest. And my mom looked at me and she was like, you are too sure? You need to wait until you grow taller, then you can become a priest because the priest's vestments are too big to fit you. Then I asked her, I said, what can I do to grow taller like a priest? She told me you need to pray very hard. That night I did not sleep. I was praying very, very hard. With the idea that tomorrow morning when I wake up, I'm going to be tall and ready to be a priest. Next morning, I was disappointed to see that I was very short. I went to my mom, I said, Mom, what happened? Look at me. I prayed all night long, but I did not grow taller. She told me, don't give up. Keep praying. I kept praying, but at one point, I came to the conclusion that God was not listening to my prayers. I felt like I was really abandoned by God. And I remember that at one point, I was so impatient that I decided to make myself a priest. So I used to call all my friends, little children, and my cousins, so that we can celebrate Mass in our house. And I was always the priest. So in the time of communion, since we did not have the host, I used to cut bananas in small pieces and give it to my friends like the Holy Communion. Making sure that I kept the bigger portion of banana to myself. So, as we gather here, we are God's people, God's children. We came because we want to speak to our Father. And we speak through prayers, asking. Most of the time, especially when we are going through difficulties, we may feel like God is not listening to our prayers. We may feel like we are abandoned by God. So what we need to take home today is that our God is a loving Father. He will never abandon us. And every time that we pray, He is there listening to our prayers. And He is going to give us what we are asking Him. But if you just remember my own experience, when I was a little boy, you know, praying to become tall, to become a priest, I felt the same thing, that God was not listening to me. I felt like I was abandoned by God. But when you look at me today, you tell me, I became tall, yes or no? That means God was listening to my prayers. And maybe He was making me taller every single day. But the thing is, my time to become tall was not God's time. My time to become a priest was not God's time. He waited until it was for His time to make me a priest and to make me tall. That means when we pray, let us keep in mind that our time to receive what we are asking is not God's time. We need to be patient with Him. But at the same time, we need to be grateful for the small things that He is giving us, all the blessings that we have every single day. To be grateful to God and also to trust Him that at the end, He is going to give us what we are asking. And when I think about my own experience, when you ask me, when exactly did you become tall? I don't know. I have no idea. But one thing that I know is that I kept praying every day to become tall. And maybe I prayed too much. That is why I became too tall. So that, you know, leads us in the today's gospel, when Jesus is speaking about the end of time, that nobody knows the time and the days. But the most important thing is that we need to be prepared to work on getting to the kingdom of God. Because the last day, the life that we are living here, one day will come to an end and will begin a new life with God our Father. Nobody knows when. So Jesus is telling us, be prepared every day. And there are many ways we can be prepared for the kingdom of God. One way is by being here to celebrate the Eucharist, to pray, to be with our Father. Another way also is by, obeying the commandments. Another way also is by helping the poor, like what we heard about St. Vincent de Paul. But I'm here today on behalf of an organization which mission is to help the missionaries who are proclaiming the gospel, saving souls around the world. Those missionaries are working in very difficult and tough situations, and they are helping our sisters and brothers who are living in a very difficult, in a very poor situations. That organization is called Cross Catholic Outreach. To give you a little bit of the context in which we are working overseas, just remember that here, for example, we have the blessing to have Sunday Mass every single weekend. But where we are working overseas, in Africa, in Asia, in Latin America, in the Caribbean, many people, if they have the opportunity to have Sunday Mass, it is only once or twice a year. Why? Because many of them live in a war zone, and others, they live in a very remote area, difficult to access, because there is no road, no car, no electricity, nothing. So the priest's job is to move from one village to another every single weekend, finding his way to get where those people live so that they can celebrate the Eucharist with them. Another context is that we have poor children who are homeless. They live in the street days and nights because their parents die from war zones, from war and illness. They are abandoned by themselves, and therefore they become the easy targets of human traffickers and terrorist organizations. Another context is that we have poor mothers and children who have to work more than 5 hours every single day to draw water in a bucket so that they can bring it home to cook food, to drink, and everything that we do with water every day. Now, can you imagine a single mother with small children? When she gets sick, what will happen? The entire family will be in distress, because there will be nobody to go that far to draw water for the family. And I remember in that context, I was sent to minister in west of Cameroon. When I was moving from one village to another, I came to know a lady whose name was Anna, who did not have kids. And every time I was talking by her village, Anna was asking me to pray for her so that God may give her a child. A few years later, God was able to listen to Anna's prayers, and she became pregnant. But before giving birth, she was having some complications. She could not go to the hospital because it was very far. There was no ambulance, no car in the area. With a group of volunteers, we transported Anna to the hospital. Once we got there, thank God, everything went well. She gave birth to her beautiful baby. She was so happy, the entire family, including myself, to see the greatness of God in her life. But before bringing them home, she broke down in tears. When we tried to find out why she was crying, she said, "I'm grateful for the baby that God gave me, but I'm afraid to go home because I don't know what will happen to my baby." Why? Because Anna was living in a very small house made of mud as well and coconut leaves as roof. As you can imagine, it is very unsafe to live there, because when it's raining, for example, the rain will just pour inside any time, and mosquitoes at night. And when it's cold, it feels like you are sleeping outside. So she was very concerned about the safety of her baby. After some words of consolation, we brought them home. 2 days later, it was raining in the area. We were thinking about Anna and the baby. The next morning, we went to visit them. As soon as we got there, we noticed that the entire village, made of those small houses, was completely destroyed, including Anna's house. And we found Anna standing there outside with the baby in her arms. She was crying loudly. And when she saw us coming, she kept crying even louder. Why? Anna was crying because her baby died. I still remember that day when I was holding the lifeless body of that baby in my arms and saying a prayer before the burial. I could not finish my prayer because I was in tears. I was crying because I knew how far Anna came to have that baby. I was crying because, to me, Anna did not only lose a baby. The baby was her hope, her life, and her future. By losing the baby, she lost all of that. I was crying because I was saying to myself, I wish I could have the power to give life back to this baby. But the reality is I did not have that power. My dear friends, let us remember that what happened to Anna is just one example among millions of children and elderly who are dying in those circumstances. Others are dying because they don't have food. Others because they don't have water to drink. But most of the time when we watch TV, we don't see that. Why? Because those people are forgotten by everyone. So what cause Catholic is trying to do is to reach out to them because they are Catholics just like you and me. And to assure them that they are not forgotten yet. Pray for them and trying to do something to help them out. And I'm here today on their behalf to ask for your prayers and to ask for your support. When I was sharing Anna's story, I could feel also the sadness in your heart as well. Maybe just like me, you are saying, I wish I could have the power to give, not to save that baby. But the reality is we don't have that power. But there is one thing that we can do. We have the power to save the life of a baby like Anna's and millions who are going through similar situations. We have the power to give food to those who go hungry. We have the power to give water to those who go thirsty, or to give a shelter to those homeless children. That power is driven by our love and generosity, because we all belong to one family. And those who are suffering, we know that they are our family members, and they need our assistance. And Jesus, our Savior, is inviting us to do the same. But he's not just telling us my words. As we heard in the second reading, when he came to save us, he sacrificed his life on the cross so that he can save you and me and to give us our spiritual food and drink for the journey. But the good news is, Jesus is not asking us to die on the cross like he did so that those people may have something. Jesus wants us to do is to sacrifice maybe $100. That will be able to remove one child from the street and to give that child an education for 1 year to change his life and the life of his or her family. What Jesus wants us to do is to sacrifice maybe $500. That will be able to sponsor a water project, to give water to an entire village and keep those poor mothers from working more than 5 hours every single day to draw water. What Jesus wants us to do is to sacrifice maybe $2,500. That will be able to, to build a shelter or a small house where those abandoned children will have somewhere to call home, to experience true love and true affection that every single child deserves, because they are angels, they are children of God. So if your answer to Jesus' invitation is yes, you will notice that in your pews, there are some brochures of course having outreach. If you don't mind, you can take one so that I can show you something inside. In front of your pews, in the pocket, you will see those brochures. And if you open, you will see that those are the few faces of the people that cause Catholic outreach is trying to help around the world. Remember that those people did not ask to be born in those areas. It had news of Jesus, and they try to live their Catholic faith. So they need our prayers and support to keep moving forward. And if you notice and you say yes to Jesus' invitation to help them to make a difference, you will notice that there is a small envelope here where you can feel free to put inside your donation. It can be in cash, in check, or money order if you want to remain anonymous. Or you can write down your debit or credit card information here. Remember that your information will never be shared to a third party. It is kept only for the use of cross outreach. Because we are going to send you the receipt for your tax deduction and also the report to see how your donation made a difference in people's lives. This organization is the best in many ways. First is because every single day we pray individually for the people who support this wonderful mission. That is why I encourage you to write down any prayer intention that you may have for you and your loved one. We need more than that to pray for you. And second, when you compare with other organizations, at CROSS, we use more than 95% of the donation. It goes directly to the poor themselves. But if for some reasons you want to, you know, sponsor a specific project, for example, a water project or a shelter project, make sure that you write it down here in the corner. And we are going to use 100% of your donation just for that project. And also, if you want to remember, of course, capital cultivation your will, we use 100% of your donation just for the project that you are going to identify. And if someday you want to go and see by yourself how your donation was able to save people's life, we'll organize a mission trip for you. So when you finish, make sure that you tear it off from here and you seal it. We are not going to have a second collection for this purpose. So what you will do on your way out of the church, you will see the usher standing there with a basket. You can feel free to drop your donation there, or you can give it to me. I will be shaking hands at the end of the Mass. Or if for some reasons you did not bring your wallet or your checkbook or your pen, take it home and fill it out. And when you finish, make sure that you seal it and you put in the mail. It will go straight to help the poor. Or if you know a friend or a relative who can be able to help, take two or three brochures to share with them so that together you can become the voices of the voiceless people who are suffering around the world. To conclude, why it is important for us to help those people today? It's because we recognize them as our family members. But second, it's because of what Jesus was saying in today's gospel about the end of time. That one day the world will come to an end and we are going to live with our Father. But it will depend on the way we live our life today. As a matter of fact, in the gospel of Matthew chapter 25, he said, on the last day, he will divide the entire world into two groups. One group on his left hand, another group on his right hand. And to those standing on his right hand, he will say, come to me and receive the kingdom of God. Because when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And when I was homeless, you gave me a shelter. Which means, by your donation today, you are going to save many lives. But at the end of the day, your donation today of 100 or 500 or more, it is a donation to Jesus himself who was born homeless to save you and me. It is a donation to Jesus who died on the cross to save you and me and to give us our spiritual food and drink for the journey. Our donation is also a way to prepare ourselves so that on that day, we can be counted among those standing on the right hand of Jesus and enjoy the kingdom of God forever. Now, with all the blessings that we have received from God, how much am I going to give today to express my gratitude to Jesus and my love and compassion to those who are suffering and dying around the world? May the Lord help us.